You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Stars fans, it's Jeff K., public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Hey guys, welcome back to Starcastic Remarks. Alongside James and Chris, my name is Ryan Chambers. We are the official Dallas Stars podcast of THPN. We are here with you guys today, not talking about a game, but just talking about the latest news surrounding the Dallas Stars and the NHL. Thank you to DraftKings Sportsbook for being our sponsor. That promo code is THPN the next time you are there using their services for a special little offer from them. Gentlemen, how are y'all doing tonight before we jump right into tonight's topics?
Very well. I was exhausted all day, though. Thanks a lot, Dallas.
James.
I wasn't as exhausted. I went to sleep when I normally do. But yeah, it's a fine day. It's nice. It's like mid spring here, so you know, it's all good.
Well, is it fake spring? I guess with the weather, are we at that point yet?
Yes, for sure.
More than yeah.
It's gonna snow later this month. I'm sure of it.
it always seems to be that way with Texas weather. Anyways, speaking of weather around, you know, Texas and everything. The weather around the Dallas Stars decor is not very good right now. We're now down our third defenseman in the decor, and that's the main topic of today's storylines is just what are the Dallas Stars going to do about defensemen? We've already seen Nils Lundqvist go to LTIR for the rest of the regular season. He might be back for the playoffs, but very doubtful. Miro Heiskanen is, let's call it as it is, he's basically out for the remainder of the regular season as well. He might get in before the end of the regular season, like a week or two before, but he is being viewed as month to month by the team. And then the most recent injury, which we don't know anything about. I know some people are asking in chat, you know, if there's any updates. There are none right now, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. We'll speculate here. Ilya Lyubushkin is also probably seen as day-to-day at this point would be my guess. But again, that's just pure speculation. I don't know the actual nature of the injury. So where are you at with Dallas Stars right now? Because it's kind of a weird situation, guys, because despite us being, you know, so hampered with injuries, especially on the back end compared to the forward end, the Stars are in a really good situation. I mean, I don't see us catching up to Winnipeg, but there's a possibility that we could. We're starting to make some headway between us and the Wild and the Avalanche as well. So do the Stars just stick with what they got and hope that, like, Kyle Capobianco and Alexander Petrovic can, you know, probably do a little bit more than what they're used to and what we were expecting them to be able to do? Or do the Stars go out and maybe acquire another right-handed defenseman, another Cody Ceci, another number seven guy just to fill in before, you know, before we get to the trade deadline?
Yeah, what's so frustrating about this whole situation is that the defense is the Stars' best ability right now. I mean, they allow their top three in goals against. Their penalty kill is best in the league, and we're just getting injured there, and it's forcing us to have to load up on defensemen. And if Miro does come back, it's going to be like unnecessarily loaded. We're going to have too many average right shot defensemen, you know? So that's what's really frustrating to me, is that it doesn't allow this team to really go out and do what I think it needs to do, and that's get goal scorers. So we got Granlund, but it would be nice to have another guy and have an insanely skillful fourth line. I mean, you add one more forward there. You imagine if Sagan does come back round one, game one, you have like a Steele, Stankoven plus whoever other goal scorer you go out and get on a fourth line. That would be insane and would be especially helpful for a Dallas team that's been knocked out of the playoffs year after year due to the lack of scoring. So, but we're not allowed to address that right now because of all the injuries that we have. So if Lyubushkin is out long-term, which again, we have no idea, there will be an update tomorrow. There's going to be a practice tomorrow. So Pete DeBoer will have media availability. So check out X for that and see if anyone has an update if you're listening to this on Thursday. But it's frustrating because the defense is good, and yet we have to add someone if Lyubushkin is out long term.
Yeah, it's just the Stars are finally having a year where they're having multiple injuries in a row, and we knew at some point that this was going to come back and bite them because they've been healthy relatively for 3 years now. It really feels like where yep. they have maybe like one big player go down and that's it. And right. this you lose in Sagan, you lost Marchment for a month. Hintz has been out of a few games and now Miro goes down and now you're going to lose Lyubushkin and Nils Lundqvist is out. Now you're just like bang, bang, bang. All the flies are dropping. So, I think it's likely that we're going to have to spend it on another depth defenseman.
And I don't know if we need to go and get one, to be completely honest. I think just the way the Stars are going to have to play is they're just going to have to expect that they're going to give up more goals. And, I mean, Jake Ottinger even mentioned something after Miro went down, and he basically said, it's time for me to step up especially. And to some extent, that's very true. And he did last night. He absolutely did last night. He made some huge, enormous stops that kept the Stars in it. And, I know we've been talking about how good the decor has been this season, but the offense has been really good since Christmas. I mean, we'll talk about it here in a little bit, especially with Wyatt Johnston and Jason Robertson in particular. But they've kind of led this team offensively now, and it was just a weird game because of what happened, how it went down, and we didn't get the goals we needed to, which we normally do as of late. So, I mean, when you look at the team since Christmas up to now, today, they have fourth best point percentage in the NHL since Christmas. And that's only behind the Red Wings, the Capitals, and the Jets in terms of points percentage. So that's ridiculous. And again, this is despite all of the injuries that they've faced. And yeah, if Lyubushkin is out for a period of time, that's a little scary, but you've still got Jake Ottinger. You've still got Esa Lindell. Thomas Harley has stepped up and has looked pretty good being, pseudo number one, kind of sharing more minutes with him. But also, let's not overlook Cody Ceci, who, for the most part, has, looked invisible, which right now, that's perfect. That's exactly what you need. You don't want someone like Dumba sticking out like a sore thumb.
Right. And that's the problem with your idea here of not having to go out and get anyone, is that if Lyubushkin, for however long Lyubushkin is out, you're asking Matt Dumba to be your number two right defenseman. And he's proven he cannot do that. I mean, he has truly been awful this season. He hasn't gotten better over time. I think we gave him a lot of grace, honestly, for how much we hated him before the season started and trying to get him, allow him to get back to healthy. And then we're like, oh, well, maybe he just needs a little time to mesh with the system. He's been in, game out, even when he shouldn't be, and he still sucks. And if you listen to 32 Thoughts the other day, Elliot Friedman, the insider that works with Sportsnet, not very subtly hinted that Dallas is looking to try and get rid of Dumba at the deadline. So that would take some magic from Nils, from Jim Nill, I mean, because he's got 2 years after this year of a pretty ridiculous cap hit based off of the skill we've seen and based off of how injured he's been. So I think Nill is going to try to make it a hockey trade plus a prospect, but I don't see how he can do that and get a decent right-hand defenseman without giving up a first-round pick, because you're basically asking them to retain 2 years of a Dumba salary and give you a good player.
It is only 1 year, actually, Chris. So,
Do I have it flipped? I thought
Lyubushkin has the 3-year deal. Got it. So it is only 1 year, but it's still it's still a tough one to try and trade out. I mean, you're hoping that some team has some space somewhere where you could just throw Dumbo away and give them a pick for it.
Right. And I mean, that would have been the Sharks, but even they wouldn't take it. That, I think that says something.
Well, we don't necessarily know that for sure. We don't know the inner workings of the trade. And I mean, let's be honest. Would you rather have, if you're the Sharks, would you rather have a first and a third, you know, round pick and take on Dumba and then give up those two players? I don't know. You said, give me the picks. You can keep Dumba.
I'd rather have a first and a guaranteed third and Dumba.
I don't know, maybe. But anyways.
I'm just saying that to say that it's hard to get Dumba off the roster. Because if it was easy in that situation, I think Neil would have done it. So I think it's going to be difficult to try and do. And then the other thing is there's not many that are available right now because everyone's a buyer in this market just because of how close the Eastern Conference is. You're not going to really get anyone from there. And even in the West, the big name that we look at, Rasmus Anderson, he's not really available either. The Flames just bought. Yeah. They just made a trade to get better, and they're going to try and get to the playoffs now. So unless they fall off a cliff, it's not going to happen.
Well, and they basically come out and said that he's not even available. Like, basically, it would have to be a drop-dead, ridiculous trade in their favor for them to give up Rasmus Anderson. And that would probably mean for the Stars giving up Liam Bischel, which, is anybody in favor of that?
No. Because Liam Bischel's already going to be in your top six for sure, no matter who's in the lineup right now for the Stars.
So, I thought about this this chat from earlier, since we're kind of talking about Dumba. So I'm wondering today about the odds of a Dumba buyout.
I don't think it saves you much money if you buy him out now. No, you can't buy him out now. You have to buy him out after the season.
I think that is the rule. I think that's how that works. I don't think you can buy.
Yeah, there's like a buyout window after the season ends.
Yes, that is correct. I mean, you could always, I don't think he has like a no move clause or a no trade clause or something like that. So I guess you could bury him in the minors and get a little bit of cap relief from that. I think it's like $1.5 million that you can get in cap relief from his 3 point whatever. I mean, that could be an option as well. And then maybe somebody, I doubt anybody does, but he goes on waivers to go to the AHL. And
no, they wouldn't get claimed
to fix him up.
If he went on waivers, that would mean that Neil talked to everybody and nobody would even take a sixth round pick and take Dumba. So he wouldn't get claimed on waivers.
Well, what I'm saying is that is an option, though, that for a little bit of cap relief. Yes. And so I would honestly expect that is more of a possibility than a trade at this point, because we did already trade out our first round pick for this year. We don't have a first and a second for this year. Our highest pick this upcoming year is the third. And again, no offense to all the other guys that are doing really well. And with the Texas Stars, like Redzkovian and Blumel and Huru and stuff like that. But they're not going to want, like when I say they, other teams are not going to want those players. They're going to ask for Bischel, Bork, or Stankoven. And Jim Neal has made that clear that that is not going to happen, and he's not in any position to trade in any of those three players.
Well, I think Neal is still very likely to make some other trade before the deadline passes. And I think that he's going to use the other first-round pick we have for next year, which, according to scouts, I don't know this for sure, but they're saying that this year's draft class is not especially strong and that next year's honestly looks better. So next year's first round pick might be more valuable than this year's first round pick to some teams.
Fair. James, what do you think? Is there another trade inbound from Mr. Timothy Neal?
There definitely is, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's like some teams like seventh defenseman that we just find a way to basically give nothing for.
Yeah. And it would be a replacement for Dumba, because if the Stars do come back healthy, Dumba would slide to your seven. If you get another team seven, you don't have to play Dumba if someone gets hurt, which I think is a good idea. And that's definitely a Neal thing to do. He loves to stack up the depth below.
I did want to ask you guys about this, because we did see a couple of defensemen that might be on the trade block. Maybe. very recently in the Anaheim Ducks. And, you know, I don't know why he is, but Luds from DLLS, Craig Ludwig, is very high on Jacob Trouba. Now, I can't say anything about Jacob Trouba because I haven't watched him play all that much. And so my opinion is just solely based off of what others have said and what I've seen in articles and stuff like that. I just don't see it, if that makes any sense. He's a guy that's making, hold on one second, Chris. He's a guy that's making $8 million against the cap. And when he was traded from New York to Anaheim, he was on the third pairing as an $8 million defenseman. Now, I don't see why he would really, want that player, but maybe it's just a guy who, you know, been there, done that, he's right-handed. So, I mean, he would probably be in the top pairing right now for the Dallas Stars if we traded for him right now. That's how thin we are on right-handed D right now if Labushkin is out. And then the other one is Radko Gudas, who I don't think he's going anywhere, but there's a possibility that he could be traded as well. Did you see anything from one of those two guys that maybe they would fit in the Dallas Stars, you know, top six when it comes to the defensive side?
I mean, they would. It would just be like another Cody Ceci or potentially worse. Like, and that's what the market is right now. Like, there's a lot of Cody Ceci's available, but there's not many Rasmus Andersons available. That's the problem, is that there's not a lot of great options. There's not a top pair right defenseman.
Yeah, and this is where it really comes in. We need to see, like, basically Lindell's going to be a right-handed defenseman for the foreseeable future, in my opinion. I mean, he's just going to play on the right. Yeah, he doesn't excel in that position. I mean, offensively especially, you can tell he struggles in the offensive zone when he's on the opposite side. But, I mean, he looks fine defensively, so that's where he's going to play.
The other problem with both of those guys is they're not expiring UFAs this year. They both have one more year of contract, and the Stars, there is going to be more space, like we're going to talk about later, but the Stars have a lot of guys to sign, and nobody really knows what the free agent market is going to do with how much the cap is going up.
That's one where if you get Dumba to go the other way, though, then it works.
Yes. Yeah.
You're getting right. 3.75 or something off your books. Yeah.
Well, not Trouba because he's $8 million, but Gudas definitely does. Trouba probably would. You probably get the Ducks to retain on a deal like that.
Okay, yeah. So let's put it this way then. Okay, because I don't think it makes sense to do this, but if Trouba is available, the Stars cannot offer a draft pick in order to, you know, for them to retain anything, right? I don't think the Stars want to give up another draft pick in order to retain a guy that they're not sure about yet. Sorry, what'd you say, Chris?
I think they would.
Okay, so maybe you think – I don't think he would.
Only because of the dire situation of the defense right now. I mean –
So maybe really, it's time to panic. Maybe it's time to not panic, but, like, understand the situation and, you know, go for it. Like, make a decision to go for it.
I think you play by ear for a bit, see how the team handles it. And if it's not working, you pull the plug on it and you try to go get someone like Jacob Trouba.
Right. And the other thing we're not really talking about right now either is Miro is pretty close to his return time being after the regular season ends. So
that
if you put Sagan on LTIR, suddenly you have $10 million in cap space again to make another move. But then you're also saying Miro's not coming back until round one, game one. And you're hoping he just comes back and plays like Miro Heiskanen with no games before.
Well, so he's Miro Heiskanen.
That's another crazy risky thing that the Stars can do.
So that was actually kind of where I was going with that, Chris. You read my mind. What is the likelihood that Miro joins Sagan on LTIR if that's a possibility to go after Jacob Trouba?
I think that's the only way getting Trouba would happen.
Without giving up a draft pick. A high draft pick, I guess. You could offer like a fourth or a fifth and say, hey, we'll take the entire thing and then put Miro on LTIR.
maybe. I mean, I don't even know if the Ducks would go that for that because, maybe. I mean, Trouba is definitely having a rough year, and that's why he got moved out of New York, but he still has the potential to be a good player. So I don't know if a fourth or fifth is honestly enough to get him, even if you take all $8 million. Because, I mean, the Ducks don't really care about the cap space. They're not going to be at the ceiling anytime soon.
Now we're also not talking about, you know, next year, which we'll talk about next year in a little bit when it comes to like the cap and stuff like that very briefly. But then you're giving yourself a whole headache about, you know, if you do trade for Trouba, that he's got one more year left on the deal for $8 million. And now you've got two guys making over $8 million plus a $5 million defenseman, plus a Wyatt Johnston that needs a new contract, plus Jamie Benn, who is going to need a new contract as well. And you don't want to put yourself in that kind of situation. So as much as, you know, some people are talking about, you know, going out and getting Trouba or something like that, it just doesn't make sense. And to Ludz's credit, he does mention that he really wants the player. He just doesn't see it happen.
I think it's very likely that Nil goes out and gets somebody, but it's going to be an expiring UFA if it's anybody. I think he just wants to give himself as much flexibility to make sure that he can lock down his core next year and not have to worry about it at all. And I agree. That's the number one most important thing. But a reason to be optimistic going into this, like, yeah, there's a lot of issues and we got a lot of injuries and stuff. And the market's a little tight, but Nil has a lot of room to work with right now. We have $5 million he can spend right now with not even putting Miro on LTIR. You put Miro on LTIR, suddenly you can literally get any player you want. I mean, cap space isn't an issue for you at that point. So he's got a lot of room to wiggle around. He's got still solid picks. I mean, he's got the first round pick next year. That is a huge piece. You can get probably any expiring UFA for a first round pick next year. So he's got a lot of room to work. And I mean, he's a 2-time GM of the year. So I say let him cook.
Agreed. Okay. Last question about the decoy, and then we need to move on because we got a lot of other stuff to talk about. Games on Friday and Saturday. It's the last two games before the Four Nations break. Let's assume Labushkin is out for both of the games, because I honestly think that would probably be a good thing for him and then long term for the Stars, because he would miss those two games and he's got 2 weeks to get himself healthy with, hopefully, fingers crossed, just a minor injury. So let's assume that Labushkin is out. Who do you call up from Texas, and what do the D pairings look like? If you could even include Smith in that, if you throw Smith back on the back end.
Yeah, I don't even know that they're going to recall anybody from Texas. I think they're just going to slot Smith in where Labushkin was.
Yeah, I still think they need to call one person up just in case of an injury on Friday, because that just seemed to be happening a lot. So you've got the cap space, so you might as well just have an extra guy just in case.
Yeah.
James, I mean, I'm sorry.
I think it if they want to give Capobianco another shot, as long as he's not playing with Matt Dumba, as Ardell says in the comments. I mean, it's a tough one. He didn't really get a good shot, in my opinion, but pretty much anyone you're going to bring up is going to end up playing with Matt Dumba. So I'm not sure there's any winning it at all.
I think we're just going to see some season high time on ice for Harley and Lindell.
And CC.
And CC, yep.
And CC, okay, so yeah. CC's going to hit his career three. High. CC is our third best defenseman.
Oh, yeah. And he just got traded for. Hey, welcome to the team, man.
There's 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Right. Or wait, I think he had 22 in his first game and then like 23 in the next or something. It was something ridiculous. Anyway, if you're asking me, here's what I want. I don't want Smith to be on the defensive core because he's looked really good at forward. But the problem is you don't have that luxury right now to put him at forward. And you've got more forwards that are fine.
Yeah, he's not playing forward anymore. We got forwards out the ears.
So here's what I am expecting, and I hate that I'm saying this like this, but you still approach it the same way that you have been the entire season, right? Your two best defensemen right now are Esa Lindell and Thomas Hartley. They cannot be on the same pairing right now. You need to have one of them out there at all times. Just basically, you know, for two-thirds, 75-80% of the game, whatever you want to put. So I'm hoping and thinking this is what they will do. I think Harley and CC are going to start together. I think that's going to be your top pairing. And don't vilify me here, okay? Lindell is going to be with Dumba. He's going to play babysitter. I think that makes some sense because Lindell needs to be on a different pairing than Harley, and Dumba needs someone to babysit him defensively. And
that happened a good bit at the end of the game last night.
Right, and I think Dumba had an okay game when Lindell was with him. And, I mean, everyone plays okay with Lindell, so it's whatever. And then the bottom pairing, for me, it really doesn't matter at this point. It just whoever is healthy.
Really what it's going to end up being is Dumba has – or Esa splits half his time between Dumba and the other two, Smith and Bischel. I mean, that's what it's going to end up being.
Yeah, and I think it would be a smart idea to put Bischel with Capobianco because they are more familiar with each other because they've played most of the season together. If you call it Petrovic, it's the same way. Maybe I'm just kind of talking out of my butt, but Chris, what do you think? Would that make some sense?
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't played a ton with Capobianco, but he has played several games with Capobianco. I mean, everybody plays with everybody in Texas, so it wouldn't really be any kind of issue. I would be more worried about Capo than I would the chemistry between those two.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. Hey guys, it's Ryan here. Have you played Pick 6 from DraftKings yet? What are you waiting for? You better get on it. It's Super Bowl 59, the last time to play NFL Pick 6 this season. As the official daily fantasy sports partner of the NFL, DraftKings does fantasy sports like no one else. Play for better payouts on Pick 6. It's super easy to get started. Select two or more players, choose if they'll have more or less of a stat, like touchdowns, yardage, sacks, and more. Pick 6 is available in most states, including Missouri, California, Texas, Georgia, and more. And DraftKings is making it even sweeter for first-timers. New Pick 6 customers play $5 to get $59 in Pick 6 credits. Win more cash on Pick 6. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to play $5 and get $59 in Pick 6 credits. Only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Let's leave this for a second, and I promised our Discord server we would talk about this. It's not a Dallas Stars related thing; it's a Dallas Mavericks kind of thing. But obviously the trade of Luka Doncic has sent the sports world ablaze. It's been ridiculous seeing the everything. I just want to get y'all's quick thoughts on it, and you know what you've seen or. You know how this affects Dallas. Are you surprised? Are you shocked? What do y'all think?
Well, I mean, it's the dumbest trade in the history of the NBA. That's for sure. I mean, already we haven't even seen the fallout of it, and that's going to go down as the worst trade in NBA history, which is insane that we already know that. It also shows you that there wasn't very many really terrible NBA trades, to be fair, too. Because I mean, there's people traded Gretzky, people traded Babe Ruth, but. And people traded Herschel Walker, but NBA didn't really have one like that. But now they do. It sucks for Dallas because he really was the best athlete in Dallas. Like as far as superstar
talent wise,
yeah. As far as superstar talent goes, he was number one. He had the most superstar image, and it was the perfect follow up of Dirk. I mean, one European plays his whole career in Dallas and gets the chip and shows the loyalty, and he gets to play his final season with the new rookie European. And he's doing the exact same thing. And then new management comes in, not from Dallas, new GM comes in who has no idea what Dallas is about and trades him away, which feels really crappy. But yeah, it's just stupid. I've never been on board with the sports are rigged kind of joke that goes around on the internet. But with how bad that trade was, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. NBA ratings are down this year. You traded him to the most popular team in the NBA. And the return was nothing. That just seems very coincidental.
Yeah, really the bigger part for me is, like, this was the superstar in Dallas. Like, that is the biggest sports player that they have. You have the Cowboys, and those players are great, but Luka was definitely a step above everyone else, and he was carrying the team on his back for a large majority of the time. And to have that type of player kind of just picked out of a team is more of a heartbreak for fans and people who just loved watching him specifically in Dallas.
Yeah, Dak's not going to go down as a top 10 quarterback in NFL history. Luka might.
Luka's going to go down as a top 10 quarterback?
No.
Yeah,
quarterback. Top 10 player.
Top 10 player. I knew what you meant. I'm just being a butthead. I was just curious how y'all thought about it, because obviously with my job as a band director, there's, you know, junior high kids, and junior high kids look up to athletes like crazy. It's even more so than high schoolers do. And like Tuesday, there were some kids who I knew who were enormous basketball fans that were just downtrodden and just depressed. Like I'd never seen these kids act this way before. And it was really sad to be completely honest. Just a guy that they looked up to, and you know, there was nothing. That's the other thing about this trade, is that, like, there was nothing there that it seemed like. No rumors. There were some things about the Mavericks not being happy with his conditioning and stuff like that. But this is Luka Doncic, right? Yeah, like,
that's the other reason why trade him away. Is that there was no rumbles. He didn't talk to any other team. It just doesn't make sense. It's suspicious. Yeah, but it makes you happy, like, to be a Stars fan and have a great GM and not have to worry about garbage like that. And the last thing I'll say on is Robert Tiffin kind of summed it up perfect from my point of view. Like, I don't really watch Mavs basketball a lot. I watch when they're in the playoffs. I watch when they went on their finals run. I love Luka. I watch Luka highlights all the time. That one that went viral on Instagram was crazy, and I watched that probably 50 times. Mm. But I'm not the biggest basketball fan in general. But go read Robert Tiffin's thing. It's on starsthoughts.com, and it kind of sums up how even a casual Mavs fan feels about the situation.
Yeah, it really was fantastic. And what's really awesome about it is that, at least for us who are not enormous Maverick fans, but, you know of Luka, like, he's on a first name basis. Like, you say Luka and everyone knows who you're talking about in Dallas. Like, everybody does. And so it was really interesting to kind of be able to relate to that article a whole lot, because, you know, as a just a casual Mavs fan, it was incredible how much of it was just ridiculous and how much it reverberated around the city. Yeah, and yeah. I mean, Chris, you and I were there. You and I were there for the game, and we saw the coffin that was there. Yeah. We saw.
I was in downtown Dallas when it was announced. The city was going crazy. You could have thought it was on fire.
Okay. I wanted to put that in there, because I know there are a lot of Dallas Stars fans who are also big Mavericks fans as well. And I mean, I was a fan of Luka just like they are, and just like you were, Chris. So I still don't know how I feel about the whole situation. If I'm going to continue cheering for the Mavericks or whatever, I probably still will, just because of necessity, them being close by. But it was really sad seeing that banner go down on social media. The one with, the Mavericks on one side, the Stars on the other, Luka being the biggest, the biggest graphic on the banner. And it's just basically taking up the whole wall of the American Airlines Center on the outside. It was really sad to see that go. So, okay. Enough on the sad end of
basketball podcast.
Yes, right. I know. I never thought we would be talking about basketball, but nonetheless, it's the biggest trade in NBA history, and it happened in Dallas, so we got to talk about it. James, we haven't really gotten your take on the Granlund CeCe trade. So Chris and I kind of talked about it, you know, literally when the trade broke last Saturday, so or whenever it was. I mean, what's your thoughts on it, James? Do you think this is a really good deal for the Stars, and how do you think these players fit into the lineup?
Yeah, I think it's a really good deal for both teams. Y'all called it kind of a steal for Jim Neal. I think it's a wonderful trade for the Sharks too. They got a first round pick for someone that they weren't even trying to get in the first place. So the Stars get another forward who can play in any position wherever you need him and is very offensively minded. And they also get a little bit of defensive depth, and then the Sharks get picks like they've been stockpiling for the past like 5 years. So overall good trade. But it's solid.
Yeah. We didn't really talk about the Sharks perspective when we did our little emergency pod, but I agree. I think the Sharks got a great haul for that too. It's two players they weren't going to see again, and they got a first and a fourth. So they did their job too.
Yeah. Not really an important thing, but I find it annoying that everyone calls it a conditional third. It's not really a conditional third. It's a fourth that could become a third. So it's really a fourth round pick right now. And it doesn't matter. But I mean, so far, what have you, this is for both of you. What have y'all seen in the first two games from either one of these players? Particularly, I've really liked CeCe, and I think he's even more critical than Granlund right now because of the injuries. But Granlund is obviously the shiny new toy. He's the real shiny new toy. And I think he's fit in really well. We've seen him play, you know, a couple different ways, and we've seen CeCe again be kind of invisible, which is exactly what you want.
Yes. CeCe has surprisingly been the actual more important one recently because of how many minutes he's been able to eat. He's been able to do what he did in San Jose here, which should tell you something about the right side depth that the Stars have. And I think Granlund's doing well. He got that point in his first game. You can see, especially on the power play, he's really struggling to understand where he's supposed to be in that unit still. I mean, I don't think he even had a practice yet between the Columbus game and the next game. So hopefully there was some of that tomorrow during their practice day, and he can get some of that figured out. But he's already shown some offensive upside, and the ability to play anywhere is especially important for him, because if we are able to get Sagan back and he does have to bump down, he's going to be able to do that no problem. And he's going to be able to still be effective, I think.
Yeah. I think CeCe's definitely the bigger piece right now. Granlund's great. And like y'all said, he looks dangerous himself when he has the puck. It's going to be learning the system for him, which is going to be very different from the Sharks, because the Sharks just want to score goals right now, and the Stars are playing a much more defensive game. But CeCe, I feel like, has fit in pretty well. He hasn't had to do too much. He's been playing with Esa Lindell or Thomas Harley the entire time, which helps a bunch. But I mean, if you're going to look pretty solid with those two people, you're going to eat up a bunch of minutes right now. So,
and it's, we'll see how it goes with these two guys moving forward, and hopefully especially CeCe, you know, maybe he can be a top four guy for this team. And I mean, obviously you want him slotting in a bottom pairing role. That would be best case scenario, but that's obviously not going to be the case right now.
Yeah, you just watch out for flying pucks.
Right.
Please? Seriously.
I honestly think even when Miro comes back, I think CeCe's probably the second pair right defense guy.
It's probably four.
Over Lyubushkin. Yeah.
It's probably really? Number four.
I think so.
What makes you say that? That's interesting.
He was already playing more minutes than Lyubushkin was beforehand, and he's able to play the similar defensive style that our top three guys have, which is the ability to move the puck through the neutral zone rather effectively and to skate their way to better positions. It also allows Lyubushkin to be able to focus more on the PK stuff. He's fresher for that stuff, and your other defenders are able to play more five-on-five where we want them to be playing, and it gives your bottom pair just a lot of meat. It'll make that pairing a little annoying to play against, and the checking lines that they'll normally be playing against will not be able to punish them as hard as they would if CC was on the bottom.
Now, I'll push back on you a little bit. I like your thought process, though. That makes some sense to me. And again, I'm speculating a little bit because I think Lyubushkin was probably hurt before last night's game. I think he's been dealing with something over a period of time. And I think that's why Cody Ceci was getting more minutes than Lyubushkin, because Lyubushkin was already hurt and they were trying to minimize his minutes when even Harley is now playing 27 minutes a night. So I really think that's why. For me, I would rather have Lyubushkin on the top four. Because he has shown that he has been very good for the Stars this year, and he's way worth his contract this season. So
100% agree with that.
That's just me and how I feel, and maybe this, you know, time on ice will change once Lyubushkin comes back after Four Nations and he's a little bit more
fresh.
I don't know, a little bit healthier, fresh. Yeah, sure, whatever. Insert word here. So
I will say that CC has played almost double Lyubushkin's games, like career games. So CC is much more tested than Lyubushkin is. Yeah. And CC has basically played 20 minutes average time on ice his entire career.
That alone will make DeBoer like him better. I mean, even if they're playing the exact same, DeBoer will like that more.
Okay, last Dallas Stars thing, and then I want to get to some other stuff that we'll do lightning round through. I specifically want to, because I think they need to be highlighted even more than we've been doing in our after-game reviews, but two players who have really stuck out to me, guys, that have really taken the Stars by storm the last month and a half, I'll say, Wyatt Johnston and Jason Robertson. So just to give you some idea. This is pre-Christmas, okay? 33 games. No, pre-Christmas.
Oh,
pre-Christmas.
Okay, okay.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, we're doing
bad stats. Contrast.
We're comparing.
Yes,
we're
comparing. There you go. Yes. Okay, so before Christmas, Wyatt Johnston played 33 games. He had 6 goals, 14 assists for 20 points, which, okay, that's okay, but that is not at all where we expected him to be. At when the season started, we expected, we were talking, could he score 40 goals? Maybe. Jason Robertson, very unlike Jason Robertson numbers, 7 goals, 16 assists for 23 points in the same amount of games, 33 games. Now, this is just points, guys, right? When you look post Christmas up to now, to the date, and this is straight from the NHL.com website, they are now both top two since Christmas in points scored. They both played 20 games. Robertson has 12 goals, 15 assists for 27 points. That is a ridiculous, ridiculous points per game extension from what he was doing pre-Christmas. And then same thing with Wyatt Johnston. He's finally being that player that we thought could be a point per game. He's got 9 goals, 16 assists for 25 points. So both of these guys are over a point per game. And they have been way, way better than before Christmas. And then one other stat I wanted to point out was it's a flawed stat, but plus minus over this period of time, specifically for Wyatt Johnston. Wyatt Johnston was a plus one before Christmas. After Christmas, he's a plus 12. So that goes to show you that not only is his offense increasing Wyatt Johnston, but his defensive game is not decreasing because of that. So he's elevating his game on the offensive side of the puck. And I just thought we needed to highlight those players and just the basic stats for them. We could talk about fancy stats all day, but just looking at just the regular stats, it's very easy to see that they have been so much better since after Christmas.
Yeah. And since Robo's gotten better, the coaching staff and Jim Neal has mentioned a ton that it was the injury that Robo had during the offseason that slowed him down. And the he generally has a long summer compared to even other NHL players. He gets a good bit of time to ramp up. And when he wasn't able to do that, it really slowed him down. I mean, you can even see on the bench, he's called Robo partly because he's also kind of robotic with his processes and stuff. He goes to the bench, he gets on the iPad, he watches his whole shift, he puts the iPad down. I mean, he's got a system. So when he wasn't able to go through that system, it slowed him down. And it makes me wonder, like, as he's ramping back up to speed, that's when all the Dallas Stars decide to start playing better too. I mean, definitely Johnson, like you mentioned, but Roope got a lot better too. I mean, he wasn't as down bad as Robo and Johnson were, but he has definitely elevated his game since Christmas, which is the line that you're giving. And is Robo the catalyst to that? Because it definitely doesn't feel that way when you watch it. We always talk about how he's so sly and how his best skill is his brain and his hockey knowledge, and it doesn't feel like he's driving that line. But when you look at how the stats shape out, the team offense got better whenever Robo got better.
I feel like a big part of it is not necessarily like energy on the ice, but the emotional energy he brings when a goal goes in. I mean, when he's feeling good, and you've seen like the past like month, every goal he scores, he is just, he's basically yelling at the top of his lungs. So it's something that's, I feel like the team was missing for a long time. But when Robo scores goals and he's feeling good, I feel like that really brings up the energy of the room, of the players on the bench as well.
Yeah, I brought that question up, but I don't think it's true. I don't think he's really the catalyst there. I think it's just kind of chance that these guys have all kind of picked up at the same time, but it's interesting. It's something to think on.
Yeah. I don't think that Wyatt picking up at the same time is a coincidence, but everyone else as well. Yes. I feel like when you have someone like Robertson finally clicking, teams are looking more.
Because everybody can just breathe, relax. Yes, your best player is your best player again.
It gives everyone space too. You get like, just like that extra inch or two, because they have to lean towards Robertson a little more now. Yeah. So it frees everyone up just enough, and then it all clicks together and goes.
You get one more goal every other game. You don't have to worry about being quite as perfect in your own end, maybe, or maybe you can be a little bit more aggressive on a forecheck or something. Yeah.
And this will be an interesting thing to see if you can figure out. Okay. So I mentioned since Christmas, don't look it up. Don't look it up. I want a trivia question for you. Robo is number one in points since Christmas. Wyatt is number two. Who is number three and number four?
And points since Christmas?
And points since Christmas. One is not surprising. The other
Duchesne?
Is a little bit surprising. Okay, James, who do you think?
Dadonov.
Dadonov, okay. And then who's your other person, Chris?
Dadonov.
Okay, James?
I've Harley. I don't know.
Oh,
Harley's almost been really good recently.
Duchesne is number three with 19 points in 20 games. And Evgeny Dadonov, the 34-year-old, 17 points in 20 games since Christmas. That's ridiculous. That's almost more impressive than Wyatt Johnston and Jason Robertson to a certain extent, because we really didn't expect it from him.
Yeah, based on expectation, for sure.
Yes. Playing on that top line helps for sure, but really what's big for him is the goals, because he's creating those himself. You can pick up assists here and there just by giving it to the right person, but the goals, that's all him, man.
And he's when you go look at the goals he scored, they are all him.
He has the same amount of goals as Roope Hintz since Christmas. They both scored seven. That's crazy. Now Roope has missed three games since Christmas, but still, that when you're in that same conversation with Roope Hintz, that's still pretty cool. Okay. All right. Lightning round real quick. Let's see what we got. Question for you, Alexander Ovechkin. We're talking about just general NHL stuff here for a second. He's 17 away from passing Gretzky's all-time goal record of 894. So 16 to tie, 17 to pass it. Question is, does he do it this season, or is he going to do it early next season? What do y'all think?
Oh, it's so tough.
I want him to do it this year.
I'm going to say he does it this year because the Caps are going to go on a deep, surprising playoff run. And he's going to get that, but they're not going to – they're going to fall out in the conference final. That's what's going to happen. But he's going to get it in the conference final. That's when he's going to beat the record.
I don't think the record counts towards playoff goals, Chris. It only counts towards
They're only counting regular season? They're not counting
only regular season goals, I believe. I believe that's correct.
I don't know if that's correct.
Well, double check me. I could be wrong.
I'm pretty sure they're counting all goals.
It would be really cool if he did it before the end of the season, but I think he probably does it early next season. I think it's going to be one of the disappointments for everyone to end the year.
If the playoffs count towards that 894, then he absolutely does it this year, in my opinion.
I don't know.
Because Washington looks scary. I don't want to face. I don't want to face them in the playoffs.
They don't look scary because of Ovechkin, though. That's what's really scary. Honestly, he's not the one doing everything.
Yeah, he was out for a period of time, and they didn't need him to score. That's just crazy. Yeah, okay,
it's career goals. It is not just regular season goals.
Okay. So I was wrong. Okay, so regular season goals do count. Okay, that does change it for me, especially since playoff goals do count. He's absolutely doing it this year.
I'm not saying absolutely. I think it's going to be close.
I'm still going to say he doesn't make it. I'll be the one that takes that sentence.
Okay. All right. The NHL salary cap is set to increase to $113.5 million over the next three seasons. That is a ridiculous, expansion. To the cap there, and that's only going to help teams and make contracts look a lot better, and also it's only going to help teams with their flexibility and being able to make trades and make it happen. So more excitement for us. What do y'all think of the news there?
Yeah, I think it makes sense. The cap was stagnant for a little bit, but the NHL actually did really well while the cap was stagnant, which was shocking to them. But they did the right thing. They were cautious and made sure that they were going to be okay. And after that, they're like, all right, floodgates. And that's what's happening. So that's good. The debate and the frustration from all these Canadian talking heads that are mad because some owners might not be willing to shell out enough money is ridiculous. I mean, if we're going to keep the cap low because this low team with a bad owner doesn't want to pay up, that's stupid. That's not the way sports works. That's not the way you grow a business. It's just dumb. So I'm really tired of hearing that argument, and I'm tired of hearing all the other arguments around why it's so unfair to be a Canadian team in the salary cap era. Do a better job. I mean, everyone has issues. We're in Dallas. You have to live in Dallas, and you have to have the worst travel pretty much every single year. So everybody has benefits. Everybody has challenges that they face depending on where they are and depending on the geography of the city that they're at. So we do not need to change the salary cap based on who's where. It's dumb. So grow the salary cap. If you're not going to be willing to pay for it and your market's too small to pay for it, that sucks. Have a better
womp
business.
Womp.
Womp, womp.
There you go.
I agree with you, Chris. I agree with you. Although I do find it funny that Shesterkin just signed a ridiculous, massive deal, and yet with the way the taxes are in New York compared to Texas, Ottinger will technically be making more take-home pay than Igor Shesterkin.
I saw that on social media. It's actually not true.
It was a while ago.
It's not true because you pay taxes based on where you play if you're an athlete. So it is probably – Otter probably does make a lot closer to Shesterkin than people think, but it's not that they make the same because Otter does have to pay those crazy taxes when he goes to places that have higher taxes like that. It's a really interesting system. And that's another reason why we can't just look at the state income tax and pretend like that's the bottom thing. There are so many intricate things that go along with these tax codes and all these different things that if we try and – jig the cap system to make it fair, we're never going to be able to do it. And how are you going to keep up with laws that are changing constantly in all these different places? It's just so stupid. It's a stupid thing to try and care about. And it's just for teams that are trying to find something to blame for them sucking.
Well, there's not a good way to make it fair. Let's just say that, because the laws are different in every state and in every province. So you just have to figure it. You just have to figure it out. This is what it is and how it's going to work. So, and like you said, Chris, there's factors. There's so many different things that are involved in all of that stuff. Okay, we need to move on. Okay, there's one other one I wanted to get to because I thought it was interesting. Ryan Hartman, he got a 10-game suspension. I don't know if y'all got the chance to see the play. I wish we could show it on here. I guess I could have gotten like snapshots or pictures of what he was doing, but he basically took Tim Stutzla's head off right off the face off and just shoved it straight down into the ice. It does not surprise me because one-time Dallas Star Ryan Hartman is a dirty player. He has been suspended 3 times since April 2023, and this was his 4th time being suspended for something like that. So I was expecting, you know, I was expecting 6 to 7 games, and this is again another suspension that the NHL was like dropped the hammer on him. And I remember when you and I talked about it, Chris, when we were out disc golfing one day when we were talking about Matt Rempe, and we were expecting like, you know, 6 or 7, and he got 8. So it's just weird. Normally the NHL gives out less amount of games for suspension than we think. So,
well, I think that's stupid and they're doing good now. This is how it should be. The punishment should be harsh for things like this.
Especially that play. I mean, if you watch that play, there's no, like, it's not like it's not like a Stone who had a stick on his boot and he's got an argument. I mean, he grabs the guy's head and shoves it into the ice. I mean, you're not going to do anything but cause a serious injury. So it was just a stupid play from a dumb player who does dumb stuff. So I thought 10 was a lot. I was shocked by it for sure, but I don't think it's wrong.
Okay. And then last question. I forgot about this one. Are y'all actually excited for the Four Nations face-off?
I wasn't super excited, and as we get closer to it, I'm pretty excited for it, to be honest.
It's gonna be fun.
I'm ready to see it. It sucks that Miro's gonna be out of it, especially. I would really like to do the underdog and root for Finland. I still am, but I'm excited for it for sure.
I think Otter's gonna get to play at least one game. It just really sucks. Like if he played for any other country, he would be the number one.
He'd be the best goalie.
Freaking Connor Hellebuyck. He's been ridiculous. And that's not a slight to Hellebuyck at all. He's been ridiculous. He's probably gonna win the Vezina again this year.
Absolutely is.
But yeah, any other player and Otter gets the start for Team USA. But
I mean, maybe Hellebuyck doesn't care about the Four Nation. He plays bad.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah, he might. Bad.
I think he's going to care.
No, I think they would care.
I think that whole US team is very motivated because they're little brother in hockey. This is the one sport where we're little brother. And this US team is loaded. Like, my goodness, this is the first time, I think, in international competition where you're taking the States over Canada when you look at those two rosters.
I don't know. The only thing that I would agree with you on is goaltending, because they absolutely you can't say that when Canada can throw out a line of Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, and Nathan MacKinnon. Like, imagine, oh, my God, I can't even imagine. That would be the scariest thing in the world. And you know what? Who has to do that? Essa Lindell is probably going to have to do that and play 30 minutes on top of that. So, anyways, excited.
I still think US is better. I think they got better blue liners. I think they got a better team.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's a lot closer to a coin flip than it used to be.
Yes. That is absolutely true. Okay. We got to do our Who Cares segment. Today's Who Cares segment came from our Discord server. There's a channel in there where you can make suggestions for our Who Cares segment every week. Today, we are doing TC Rye Guys, suggestion from January 19th. Favorite celebrities with your first name. Now, I actually have a question for y'all. Should I do it based off of my actual first name, or do I do it based off of Ryan?
You get both, actually.
Yeah, I'll give you whatever you want. You do either.
Really? I agree with that. I was not expecting that from y'all. I was expecting y'all to be like, no, you have to do David.
We all call you Ryan, but technically your first name is David.
Yeah, so I think you have two first names in my mind.
Yes, so do I – so that's the question. I have for both. So, yeah. Like
– you can mix them now.
Yeah, go for it.
However you want.
I think I'm going to go.
You'll still lose, we'll probably.
Of course I will. Hey, James, what's your number third?
My number third, I'm picking James from the Bible. He's famous, right?
Wow.
He's famous. That's famous. Not where I was going.
That's pretty great, James, right there. I'm not going to lie.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
This is not my kind of segment. I'll take dead last, but it'll be great.
Chris, well, what's your number third?
My number third is Chris Columbus, the director of the first two Harry Potter movies. He also got Home Alone and Home Alone 2, the superior Home Alone, actually. And another movie that I didn't even know that he directed that I understand is objectively bad, but I love it, Pixels. I thought that's a great movie. That's a good Adam Sandler movie.
Pixels. Oh, is that the one where... that's the video game movie, right?
Yeah, the aliens attack in the video games. That's a good time.
Okay. Let me pull it up. I don't even remember who my number third was. My number third is Ryan Stiles. I don't know if y'all know who Ryan Stiles is. I'm showing my age a little bit.
Nope.
He is the taller of the guys from Whose Line Is It Anyway? He's absolutely hilarious.
I know him. He's funny.
Yes, he is extremely hilarious. Some of the stuff I cannot and would never repeat here on the podcast, but it is quite funny, and I enjoy his jokes a lot and his impressions. So he's my number third. James, number two.
All right, my number second is James Dyson. Dyson, like the vacuum company.
Yeah. That's tough. That is tough.
James just went full nuclear on the segment. He's just like,
come on, that's good.
He really doesn't
that's
care.
That's good.
No, James.
James
it sucks.
Dyson. It sucks. Does suck. You know what? I take it back. He's right. It sucks.
My number two is Chris Hemsworth. Man, what?
So, I'm surprised he's not your number one.
You're not thinking about the number one then. So Australians on average are lower on the attractive spectrum. But
wow.
But
geez. Yeah. We've actually got some listeners who are from Australia.
But when you get to the top 1% of the most attractive Australians, they might be the most beautiful men in the world. I mean, my goodness, look at this guy. He is insane. He's funny in Thor. I like him. He just needs to keep talking with the American accent, and he's perfect.
Oh, we're going to get some comment from some of our Australian viewers for this. This is going to be hilarious.
Our Australian viewers are probably in the top 1% of attractive people.
Okay, I'm sure they are.
You're just sucking up, okay?
No, I'm sure
they absolutely am sucking up. But if you are our viewer from Australia, please join the Discord, put a selfie in there, and DM me maybe.
All right. I'm ignoring that. I'm going to keep going. My number two is it's a pretty easy one for me, and it's Ryan Reynolds. I mean, Deadpool, man, he's hilarious. He's a great actor.
Yeah. You heard that Blake Lively drama though?
Yeah, I did, but you know, I know, swing. But
I was
the whole all of that stuff. I'm ignoring all of that stuff. I'm looking specifically.
We're waiting
at
for the court of law until we make a decision on that.
There you go. Fair enough. That's my number two, Ryan Reynolds. James, you're number one. I'm actually very interested to see.
I'm cheating completely.
This.
I agree in the fullest. I'm picking James Bond as my number one.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
inaccurate.
One.
That is inaccurate.
That's a good one.
That's a fictional
completely
character.
Inaccurate,
that is a different show.
That is my number one.
But that's technically a celebrity. Everyone knows who James Bond is. It's just not, you
it's
know, whether it's played by Daniel
character.
Craig or
it's
Sean
not
Connery.
A celebrity.
I don't know. Let's look up the definition of celebrity.
Let's not say we did.
My number one, which I'm surprised you forgot about this person, Ryan, is Chris Pratt.
Oh, I'm stupid. Okay.
Yeah, you are stupid. My Discord, little, what is it, James? Avatar?
Icon.
My Discord icon is Chris Pratt because he's the best. Bring back Fat Pratt. He's way better than Hot Pratt. He played in Parks and Rec, which is the greatest television show that's been made. And then he played probably the coolest doofusy superhero that's ever been imagined on a television screen. So, yeah, Chris Pratt's pretty cool. I like that guy.
He's pretty hot now,
but he's not as hot as Chris Hemsworth, though. But he's funnier than Chris Hemsworth.
That's a really good pick, Chris. That's an excellent number one. He's always been one of my favorite actors too. Just with all the other stuff, I can't believe I'm ready to watch the world burn. You ready for my number one?
Yes.
Ready? My number one is Ryan Suter. Chris is gonna go. I knew that was gonna get him. No, I'm totally kidding. He's not my actual number one. I just wanted to see what Chris actually said.
Really,
my real number one is Ryan Gosling. Ryan Gosling is my number one. He's a great actor. Yes, La La Land is one of the reasons why I really like him.
Okay,
as an actor.
Actually, you said that, now I'm on board.
Yeah. Okay. So Ryan Suter isn't even on the radar at all. I just wanted to see the world burn for a split second. Although, Chris, I think you win.
Well, to be fair, there are a lot of celebrities named Chris.
Yeah, I had a pretty good cast to pick from.
No, that's fair. But, okay, so celebrity, a famous person.
Yeah, so not
James
character.
Bond is a person.
He's not. He's a character. James Bond is not a person. Okay, look up the definition of
James
person.
James Bond.
Look up the definition of person right now.
Okay, guys, we're going to cut it off here tonight. Thank you guys so much for listening to us live here. There's even more of you that are listening afterwards. If you are listening on the audio side, please consider leaving us a 5-star review wherever that may be. If you're watching on YouTube, please click like and subscribe. Hit that notification bell so that way you get notified every time we go live, like for episodes like this. And as always, go and check out StarcasticRemarks.com for all the latest information from our podcast. That's the easiest way to see all of our content, including blog posts every once in a while and all of that stuff. We got some news coming up here in the next couple of weeks. We'll probably drop it during the Four Nations face-off, so be looking out for the news there. And I think that's it. Oh, yeah, DraftKings. Yeah, we got to thank our sponsor. DraftKings Sportsbook, pick 6 option. Go and use that promo code THPN.
Alongside
James and alongside Chris, my name is Ryan. We've appreciated you guys here tonight. Hope you guys have a fantastic morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you guys are listening. And we'll be back with you guys again on Friday when the Stars are continuing their California road trip. See you guys later.